Aloha and Merry Christmas. Welcome to Words of New Hope. Today, part two of a message entitled, Christmas is Forgiving. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne was sharing with us one of the best gifts we can give this Christmas, the gift of forgiveness. It's a gift your loved ones will treasure above all others. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Christmas is Forgiving.
She went to the hospital and sure enough, they put her on a stiff program of intravenous antibiotics to stop or arrest that infection that was on the inside that she didn't know was going on, but she was a carrier of that insidious problem and that malady which would have ended in death had it not been arrested. The same thing is true when there is a puncture wound of sin, whether it's caused by you or intentionally by another or unintentionally by another, and we are the holders of the carriers of this sin, this event, this problem, whether it was something done to you in finances or an expectation or a dream broken or promise broken or a moral thing violated, you now have this in you. And this thing is alive. Sin is something that's alive. And its goal is death. And it has to be taken care of. But what if that person doesn't deserve it? It has nothing to do with that. You better arrest this thing. Stop it now. Stop it now. It's sort of like you getting into an accident and you're injured and you're upset because someone ran into you and that person says, we better get you to the doctor so that we can get you fixed up. No, I want to know why he ran into me. Nope, I want to know why he ran into me. You're going to die. I don't care. I want to know why he ran into me. No, I don't care why he ran into me. Get that thing fixed first. Stop the bleeding. Start the triage, whatever needs to be done to stop this death from having its final goal in this person who is a victim. Forgiveness is something that God gave to us as a gift to arrest. It's the only antidote that I know of that God has given. Because, see, sin is slow, but it's evasive. It creeps, but it's certain. It's measured, but its aim is to destroy you. And so God speaks about that, to stem the tide of sin's advance. You got to understand that. If you don't, it will have its effect in your marriage, in your mind. It will cause doubts to come into your mind. You'll become cynical, critical, and you won't know why. You'll rationalize it. You'll think it's righteous. You'll start to believe deceptive things. It affects your heart, your health, and then your children. If you tolerate unforgiveness in your life, you will develop a culture that tolerates unforgiveness, and you'll develop generations of the same. That's why Exodus chapter 34 speaks to fathers, and he says, be careful that the iniquity of the father will be visited to the sons and your sons' sons up to the third and fourth generation. In other words, if I tolerate a certain sin or iniquity in my life, it will be exampled in such a way that it will be invasive and it will be systemic. We'll go right down to the root system is what it means, and it'll continue its tarmac all the way down to the third and fourth generation. Someone has to stem the tide. Someone has to stop. And the gift that God gave to us is called forgiveness. Does that mean someone deserves it? It doesn't matter. Forgiveness is about sin, not about the deservedness of the perpetrator. It's about the fact that sin is evasive and it starts in your life and it won't stop until something arrests it. And that's why God purchased forgiveness on the cross. It is a powerful, powerful gift. Some people say to me, but Wayne, you just don't know. You don't know what my uncle did to me, or you don't know what my brother did to me. You don't know. And I said, doesn't matter. You've got to stop it from destroying your future. And forgiveness is the antidote. You've got to do that. It's not about whether they deserve it or whether they're right or wrong. You've got to deal with this. No, but you just don't know. I love telling this story. Now, I'm an animal lover, so don't write me letters because this is going to deal with an animal. And please, my daughter's house, we have one cat, three dogs, six chickens, two cows. So we love animals. All right. But let's say I'm real excited and I drive into like Elwin's driveway and all of a sudden I hear this boom And Joy comes running out. My kitty, you ran over my kitty. I said, I'm so sorry. I just want to see Elwood. No, you see nobody. You killed my cat. I said, I got to see him. No, you killed my cat. I said, okay, I'm so sorry. It can't be replaced. Well, I just came because I was so excited. I just won the $32 million lottery. What? Yes. And your cat, I know I can't replace it, but because I won so much money, would $1 million replace the cat? At least let you forgive me. $1 million, Joy says. You're forgiven. Really? That's right. In fact, she says, I'll bring Elwin and lay him down here if you'd like. How much would that be? She said $5 or $6 is fine. Now let's say I wrote a check, you know, whatever. And then she said, yeah, but you don't know what my brother did. I said, well, forgive him too. I can't. Joy, what if I wrote you a check for $3 million? Would you forgive your brother? Oh, he's forgiven. Forgiven. Anybody else? My teacher did me wrong. All right, $2 million. How's that? Forgiven. And anybody else? Well, and she starts naming off a few people, and I write checks. Now she has an accumulated total of about $30 million. And I said, and here's another $10 million. Just whatever. No, I didn't win that much, did I? Okay, let's just, yeah, I mean, you know the illustration. I want $100 million. All right. And so I write out another $10 million. So I say to her, now will this be able to help you to forgive everybody that's ever done you wrong? Absolutely, she says. I'm a forgiving woman. Well, you know, she can forgive now because she's got so many millions. She's so rich. But I want you to know that in order to give you that same power, Jesus bankrupted heaven. And all of heaven's store was written. In fact, the Bible says it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. If you'll follow my principles, everything is available to you. But yet many of us say, it's still not enough because you don't know what so-and-so did to me. And the Lord says, I have nothing else. Do you understand the power of that gift? God says all of heaven is available so that every single one of us can forgive. Not only because he paid such a dear price for it, but because God knows the devastating effects of sin on your future. So he gives us the power to stem its tide and set you free. You see, we're human. We're still going to struggle with emotion, but my forgiveness is not determined on my emotion so that when I finally get around to feeling like it, I issue it. It's too late. I've got to be free from the devastating, invasive effects of sin long before that, before it encroaches and destroys my family and my life and my psyche. And I've got to understand that. And the Bible says, if I don't give, I will not be able to receive his blessings, his continued kingdom of God running through me, because I hold it or I drink the flask of water and that's the end of it. And then I die because of the effects of sin. There is one antidote to sin's invasive effects, and that is forgiveness. Not because I feel they deserve it, because I know that I need to protect my life, my future, and what God has for me. You can catch that. It will help you to be a forgiver. It has nothing to do with their deservedness or their justice or your vengeance or avenging that wrong or what righteousness is or whatever it is. I've got to do this first. Triage, the beginning of healing has to take place first. That's exactly what Christmas is all about. It begins with forgiving. So you say, well, Wayne, how can I get closer to this kind of amazing grace? What are some of the principles that I can weave through my life? Let me give you three, and we'll just summarize what we have heard. The first is this. Number one, what helps me to be a forgiver a little easier is to prioritize priorities. Prioritize priorities. Now, we all have priorities, but you know what? We hardly prioritize them. If I asked you, what are your priorities? I bet you'd give me a school book answer. But do we prioritize them in our life? Most of America do not. We live other than what we believe, and it makes an inconsistent, incongruent life. But if you'll prioritize priorities, you say, what are they? They usually come to the surface when you're about ready to die or go into surgery, or for me, into the dentist's. You see, when you're about ready to go in, I was having a surgery, I was going on a gurney into the surgery room. And I tell you, when you're going into surgery and you know, you don't know if you're gonna live or die, nothing matters at that point except God. Isn't that right? Yeah, what becomes priority is your relationship with God, your relationship with your family, your spouse, your kin. Everything else does not matter at all. The 20 bucks somebody owes you, I don't give a rip on that. Somebody scratched my car, I don't care. What is priority are the relationships that I have vertically and with those that God has put me with horizontally. Everything else is moot. Those priorities are extremely important because once you prioritize them, you can forgive the stains in the carpets and the 20 bucks here and the scratch there. But if you forget to prioritize your priorities, everything matters and it's hard to forgive. And we live an incongruent life. Prioritize, and it's all about relationships. Let's read the scriptures and you'll see. Go. Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And the next one, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one with another, and the blood of Jesus' Son cleanses us from all sin. Here's my goal in life. When I come to the end, and I'm old and decrepit, I'm getting there fast, so don't push me. But when I get to the end, and I'm old and decrepit, I want it to be at the end that Anna and I are still in love, we still love Jesus, and we have had a godly influence on our children and grandchildren. That's it. If I miss that, everything else is moot. It doesn't matter how many widgets I made. Prioritize priorities, and everything else takes its place. You see, let's say, for example, I have my granddaughter, and she's on in a little backpack, and we're going up on a hike because my wife wants to go on a hike, let's say. Well, every time my son kind of lets a bough go or a branch, and it whaps me, ow, Aaron, what are you doing? Come here. And so, oh, my feet hurt. Honey, why did we go on this hike? I'm complaining about everything. Now, if my hat blows off, no big deal. I'm still complaining. But what if all of a sudden my granddaughter falls out of my pack and rolls down the hill right towards the precipice? All of a sudden, new priorities, not just my comfort, but new priorities arise. And I will run down the hill after her. I don't care what's whacking me in the face. There's a new priority, understand? So that would used to bother me to not bother me anymore. Why? Because I'm invincible? No, new priorities have arisen. My priorities have been understood and recognized. Big difference. If my granddaughter rolls down the hill, I don't go, oh, these branches. My shoes still hurt. How far is she gonna roll anyway? No. The first is prioritize, and second is forgive for your own health. Forgive for your own health. That's what Matthew 18 talks about. When that man would not forgive, he was the one thrown in prison. Let's read about it. Go. And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Forgive for your own health. Recent studies, secular studies, non-religious studies, a team of doctors led by Dr. Petit and I believe it was UC Davis, that they did this study called Forgiveness and Health. Now, it's not religious, but these doctors found that patients who refused or could not forgive, that unforgiveness tolerated in their system imbalance their chemistry and cause all kinds of problems in their neurological condition. In fact, they called it a neurological homeostatic disequilibrium. Try that one on for size. I don't even know what that means. That sounds good. No, what it means is when you have unforgiveness in your life, the chemistry balance in your body is upset, whether it be estrogen or your hormones, your endorphins, or your serotonin levels, or all these different kinds of chemistries in your body all go haywire. Your brain goes weird, And what happens is you start having mood swings, you fight with depression, and you don't know what's going on. You're struggling with anger one day and ecstasy the next. And you don't know what's happening because your chemistry is going off and you can't regulate it. Unforgiveness throws your equilibrium off. That's what the report says. It also causes your adrenal glands to overproduce, which causes tension in your muscles, constricting of blood vessels. And then it causes, here's the worst, your immune system to weaken. Now, this is a non-religious study. But they talk about forgiveness and health. You know what all that says to me? It says this: God did not create us to do well with unforgiveness lodged within us. He didn't design us that way. And even secular researchers are telling Christians that today. And we need to listen. So forgive for your own health. It's sort of like, say you have someone write something bad against you, and you take that piece of paper and you crunch it up and say, "I hate this person." And someone lights it afire. "I hate him. Ouch. Ouch. What are you doing? It's burning." "Yeah, I know. It's burning my hand." "Well, let it go." "No, because I hate this person." "Ouch. Let it go." "No. Let it go. Ow. No." Is that dumb? You understand? Yet we do that every day. And God is saying forgiveness is for our health. You need to let it go. The greatest gift you can give this Christmas is forgiveness. But remembering that it first was given to us to prime the pump, and then all of heaven's store is now available if we first give. So you can fill in this third one for me. Would you fill it in? Forgiveness is first what? Then it is received. It is first given. Would you fill that in? And let's read Matthew 6:15 together. Go. "But if you do not forgive others, then your heavenly Father will not forgive your transgressions." In following Christ's example, I put something in your bulletin today. And would you pull that little piece of paper out called the gift of forgiveness here? Let me ask you a question. Is there someone that you need to forgive? Someone that you need to give forgiveness to? Because you see, one of the greatest gifts this Christmas is to give forgiveness. It has huge benefits for you. Is there someone, a brother, a sister, a parent, a son, a daughter, a co-worker, a leader, someone that gave you expectations or promises and then broke them, and you've been a carrier of that offense, and that cancer has been doing its slow but effective, measured, calculated work in you until it comes to the point where you don't see things correctly. You start to have little doubts. It constricts your heart. Could have been soft. It constricts your perspective. It causes you to stutter step. It affects your relationships vertically and horizontally. It's time to stem the tide. New priorities have arisen. Who is that? What I want you to do is take your pen, and I want you to give a gift of forgiveness. And you need to write that name down. I took that paper, I wrote four names down. Because I had some stuff I just needed to just let go. It wasn't a big thing, but I just knew that I wanted to make sure it was done with. Because I want God's best in my life and my family's life. And the best thing I can do for them is to be a man of forgiveness. And so it is with you. Who is that? You don't have to show it. Just do it secretly, because it could be the name of the person next to you. So just do it real smart. Okay? And then fold it. Fold it. Outside these doors, you've seen these barrels that are like gifts for toys for tots or angel tree. They're going to be barrels out there. And when you go, I want you to give that as a gift. Just drop them in that barrel. But you need to write it down to divest of that in your heart so you know it's done. Best thing you can do. Christmas is forgiving. And then you drop it in that barrel. and then I'll post it in the Honolulu Advertiser. No. Just joking. We'll run it through a shredder and take it to Calvary. But you need to do it. You need to be able to put that in there. By the way, after one of the services, an internist came up to me and he said, Wayne, about forgiveness and health, you don't know how true that is. I have patients that come in that are struggling with chemical imbalances. And he said this, I give all kinds of drugs and medications to them, but it will not stop and equalize that. He said, there's nothing like the medicine of forgiveness. Science cannot come near to that yet with medication or drugs. As an internist, I thought, boy, it's so true. So I want you to do that. And then in just a moment, I'm going to have you stand and we're going to hold this before the Lord and we're going to pray over it. All right? So please do write that down. Someone that you need to give forgiveness to. And then let's stand together. Go ahead. Let's stand. We're going to pray over these, and then when we leave, you can just deposit them. But let this Christmas be the beginning. The best thing you can do for you, for those around you, your future, is to understand the power of forgiveness, because you understand the slow, invasive erosion of sin. That if it's not stemmed, it will do its work. Mark my words. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is not probably, it is death. And you'll be a carrier of that. And the best antidote is forgiveness, bar none. That's why it was so much paid for on the cross of Calvary. Put your hand over that and let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so very much for giving to us the powerful and precious gift of forgiveness. Lord, we give this gift freely by choice. And it may have nothing to do with whether or not the person deserves it or not. It has everything to do with us understanding sin and forgiveness. And so, Lord, we now invoke this gift of forgiveness so that we might be able to be men and women with physical and spiritual health, that we will think the way you want us to think and be the people you want us to be. Thank you for that. With your heads bowed, if you're here and you say, you know, Wayne, I've not received the initial gift of forgiveness because I know that I have rejected Christ. I so need his free gift of eternal life. And I confess the fact that I need it desperately. I want to open my heart to Christ so that he can begin his work in me, and I'll promise to be a venue through which forgiveness takes place, but it's got to start from heaven to me, and then I'll be faithful to steward it. But Lord, would you forgive me of my sins? I choose to follow you. Make me brand new. I come to Calvary myself, and I ask for salvation, that you'll change me, make me new. If that's you today, would you raise a hand and you're saying, yes, I need to receive Christ. Yep, okay, yeah. All right, you too, yeah. Okay, yep, on the sides, yeah, all right. Yeah, okay, in the back as well. Yeah, okay, you too, yeah, all right, yeah. Let's all pray this prayer together as we close. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus and the forgiveness that you paid and we received as a gift. But this gift is not for us to simply consume. It is to give away so that the kingdom of God can continue to flow not only to us, but through us. We open our hearts to receive you as Lord and Savior. Change us. Make us the people you want us to be. And now I say this so everyone hears, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to him. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord, that's the cry of our heart. Thank you for allowing us to give the gift of forgiveness, even as you have done to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Christmas is for Giving by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, Merry Christmas and Aloha.
Celebrate Christmas at New Hope Oahu. Join New Hope Music, the New Hope Chorale, and Senior Pastor John Tilton on Thursday, December 22nd at 7 p.m., Friday, December 23rd at 5 and 7 p.m., and Saturday, December 24th at 5 and 7 p.m. Live Japanese, Chinese, and American Sign Language translations will be available at select services. Experience exuberant joy, overwhelming peace, and unconditional love this Christmas at New Hope Oahu. For more information, visit enewhope.org.